Welcome to Lawmaker Huddle. I'm Pamela Kirkland, host of Morning Edition at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Each week, we're joined by Donna Lowry, host of GPB's Lawmakers for Lawmaker Huddle, where we cover the highlights from under the Gold Dome.
Senator Harold Jones II from Augusta, thank you for joining me on Lawmakers Huddle.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So let's talk a little bit about the study committee you have right now on home health care. What is that all about?
One of the things I experienced from a personal level a few years ago when my dad had a stroke, me and my mom, we brought him home, and what we didn't realize was when we did that, we were now healthcare workers. We were healthcare workers, that's exactly what we were. And so we were like sitting there saying, well, what do we do? And so we immediately jumped on the phone and hired nurses and things of that nature. But it brought it to my attention that this is happening to so many Georgians across the state. Right now, as we talk, it's happening. Someone's being discharged from the hospital right now, and they're taking their loved one home, and they're saying, well, now what actually do we do? And so it takes time sometimes for services to actually kick in. I'll never forget, it had been like a week and a half, so we'd already done all the paperwork and everything with my dad. He was in the service. We had to go through the VA and things of that nature. And my mom said, okay, we got approved for 12 hours. So I was like, well, 12 hours, that works, because I can now go to work. Because he was in the hospital like a month and a half, hospital and rehab. So I really wasn't working at all. Luckily, I'm on my own business, but I wasn't working at all. So I was like, 12 hours, that's fine, because now I can go to work, and then I can kind of come home and do the night shift. She said, no, it's 12 hours a week. And that's when I realized we're at a whole nother level right now, because that doesn't even amount to anything for him. And so we had to then hire more private nurses, and we did that really up until the time he passed. Very expensive, but it really got me realizing that there's a lot of paperwork that people had to go through. I was able to navigate that because I'm a lawyer, but also because I had contacts. But my contacts, of course, existed because of my position. But how about people who don't have that? What are they dealing with? You know, and then not knowing really where to start. And then, like I said, you become a healthcare worker. You may have nurses that come in, but there's still going to be times where you're there by yourself with this person that needs care. What do you do? So I said, we need to try to figure this out. You know, number one, let's bring attention to it first and foremost. But then secondly, let's figure out like what services exist. How do we actually improve those services? What are other states basically doing? And one of the best ways of doing that is through a study committee. So I really pushed to have this study committee pass, got it passed and funded. So what I've done is I've kind of divided up the themes. So our first meeting, the theme was basically caregiving for a person with dementia. Also an overview of Georgia in particular. Georgia's actually become a very older state. So we're gonna have this issue continuing. We're becoming an older state. And then also, what are some of the unique things that are happening happens to African-American caregivers because some of our socioeconomic problems. So we focused on that. The next meeting that we're going to have is talking about some of the services that are actually available, how to improve those if possible, and also how to get the word out to people that these services do exist. That's key.
Yeah, if you don't know, you don't know what you don't know.
That's exactly right. You don't know. And so the hospitals, they do kind of sit down with you, but quite frankly, that sit down is pretty fast. And so you're still kind of like, well, what am I doing here? And so we're just trying to figure out how to actually improve that particular process. And then our next to kind of focus on what other states are doing. So each meeting has kind of a theme to it. Also, we'll look at the particular situation with veterans and particular with people who are physically disabled.
Anything particularly eye-opening in that first meeting?
I knew that a lot of people were affected by it, but you know, it was open to the public, of course, and so people came in and we offered them opportunity at the end to kind of tell their story. And so that was one of the things that was eye-opening, that this is needed. And you know, a couple of people actually started crying, which I completely understand. You know, they were just reliving what they had been through. It's a very, you know, tough situation. Because one day your life is one way, and then your next day your life is totally different. Because that Friday, when my mom called and said, we think your dad had a stroke, I was getting ready to go to dinner. I thought she was calling me, as she does, to say, do you have enough food? And I was gonna say, I got a dinner plan tonight. And instead she said, we think your dad may have had a stroke, we're heading to the hospital. I said, well, I'm on my way. And from there, our life totally changed for the next 3 years. Some states, they actually give you personal leave time. And to where they pay you, it's like family leave. Our services go through a Medicaid waiver process. Two problems with that. Number one, you have to be income eligible, and a lot of people are not gonna be eligible. Like I was not, me and my mom, we were not eligible for that. And so you have a gap there. And so, and also the amount of money that you receive through that is low. So if I was working, you know, if I didn't have my own little law firm or whatever, that'd have been very hard for me because I don't know if my boss would ever have let me off work like that. I literally probably didn't work for like the first month when he was in the hospital on rehab. That would have been something that I don't know how many bosses would have tolerated that. And so some states actually allow you to do it like family leave. So we're going to investigate that and see if Georgia might want to kind of change that.
What did you find out in terms of the number of people who are out there or companies or individuals who do home health care?
Oh, when I had that situation, because what happened was when we brought my dad back home, I called a friend of mine who knows nurses. And so she jumped on the phone. And so there was a lot of different companies out there that were doing that. And so we were able to get people in pretty much immediately. But once again, if I don't know her, then we're really stuck. You know, so everything was about just initially those first couple of weeks when we brought it back home, everything was really just about relationships and saying, I need this, I need that, until the paperwork finally started kicking in. But if I didn't have that, then I really wouldn't know where to go. Those nurses came in, of course, we were paying them, but they really came in on the fly like that because they knew her. If I'd have probably called the company, they'd have been like, well, let's have an appointment and things. She called them and they said, okay, we'll do it. Let me fit it through the schedule. We're still paying them, of course, but they would have probably done that if I'd have just did a cold call.
And then let's talk about the comfort level of having some stranger coming into the home and the trust level you have to have, the things, those kinds of things.
Absolutely. Because my mom, you know, she was very particular about that, you know, so to bring in one nurse, she'd be like, I don't like her. So that person, and I'm like, okay, well, now we're burdened with this for the next couple of days because we got to find somebody else. But that's just, you know, that's true. That's real because you have someone in your house that you really don't know. And so it is a comfort level that has to exist. So that's another thing that you don't really kind of anticipate because personalities can clash. They're there for a long period of time in the kind of situation I had. They're not there for just an hour. They're there for 5, 6, 7 hours a day. That's one nurse. And then another one comes in and she might be like, I didn't like that one that came in for that shift. So I'm like, okay, well, what are we going to do for the morning shift then? Because we ain't got nobody right now. But yeah, that's something that a lot of people don't think about, but you're living with this person. And so you do have to have a comfort level with them. And she's very particular. So sometimes she'd be like, they got to hit the road.
Any idea what legislation might come out of the study committee?
Yeah, I think number one, we actually have legislation now that says you can take 5 days sick leave for this. I'd love to see that basically improved and get more hours on that. I'd also like to see us actually continue with the waiver from Medicaid, but also look into, and of course, this is a little bit, would take some work, but really looking to having family leave and really be able to pay people to actually, because they're providing services. That's one of the things that we've been learning is, you're talking about within the millions of dollars of free service, which is fine, because people love their family members, but people cannot survive like that. And luckily I had a couple of dollars in the bank, literally a couple, but you just can't survive like that. And so you have to have some kind of assistance to help you. When this happens, no matter who you are, I know a friend of mine who's actually a doctor. She didn't really know how to navigate through all of this. Because unless you experience it, you don't deal with it. You're dealing with insurance companies, all these different things. So it does not matter. It does not discriminate at all. And so many people are dealing with this.
I know you were talking about having access to the information. And legislatively, is there anything, you know, about a data bank or anything like that?
A lot of our agencies, they have it up, you know, they have, of course, the information there. So possibly make sure the hospitals have it. We do have a law in place. The hospitals are supposed to sit down with you and kind of go over everything. Let's find out how we can kind of smooth that process out or make it look a bit more efficient. And also just to get the word out to some extent as far as the agencies are concerned, because they have a lot of processes in place, but you may not know how to navigate it. So that would be another theme of our meeting, to try to figure out if we can make those websites a little bit more accessible and things of that nature. So we can do better. It's not like we're not doing anything, but we can do a lot better in Georgia too.
I am looking forward to talking to you more about this during the legislative session and letting people know that this is an issue that you're working on and feel very passionate about, as we all should, though we don't think about it until we have to.
That's exactly right. Believe me, don't think about it until you have to.
I want to thank you, Senator Harold Jones II of Augusta, for coming on Lawmakers Huddle.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
With Lawmakers Huddle for GPB News, I'm Donna Lowry.
You can watch Donna hosting GPB's Lawmakers nightly at 7 p.m. while the legislature's in session, or online at gpb.org/lawmakers.